The Never-Ending Faithfulness of God, an exposition of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. This message by Andrew Hoyt was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, December 28, 2008.
Well, good evening. Hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. I know I did. It's a tradition at my family to eat lots of food, and especially the breakfast meal, but that's a whole different story. So if I'm that kind of sluggish tonight, that's because I've put on a couple pounds, but I digress. If you would, turn with me to our scripture today, found in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and we'll start in verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you have come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in just awe of your presence, Father. We thank you for the love you've shown for us and your faithfulness towards us, God. We acknowledge that we have fallen short in many, many ways, Father, and we just pray that you would forgive us where we have failed you. Father, we are thankful for the blessings you have given to us in this past year, and Father, we pray that you just be continually present with us in this upcoming year. We thank you for just your bountiful gifts to us, Father, and we thank you for your Son, and that you sent him as a gift for us, Father. We just stand in awe of your grace. We pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. So there's different people we've met in our lives that have been great people of faith. People we have met, no matter how long the visit may have been, after we have met them, we felt like we've really benefited from that visit. We all can think of somebody who has stood out in their faith. Well, the person I think of immediately is someone I met last year during my internship at OBU. Me and the pastor I was interning with were doing some home visits, and we visited with a lady. Her name is Miss Vernal. She's having her 95th birthday a week later. The first thing I immediately noticed when we walked in the door to her place where she was living was that she was very happy, very clear-minded, and very happy that we were there. It was a joy talking to her. We talked to her about her birthday that was coming up, and the thing that she told us was that, you know, I really don't feel how old I'm going to be. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for the things he's done for me and how I feel. And the thing I learned later is that she had had a very hard life. She had lived to see her husband and her children both pass away. And the only thing she could say was, I'm so grateful to the Lord for his faithfulness that he showed towards me. And so that kind of really stuck with me. And so that's where we're going to talk about tonight, is the topic of faith. What is faith? And how is one faithful? The term faith can mean several different things. It can refer to a religious viewpoint, or it can refer to a trust in a particular entity or person. But what does the idea of faith mean for us? The theologian Easton describes faith as a persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. Faith can be described in many different ways. It can refer to certain dispositions concerning the historical, the intellectual, or spiritual. In most cases, faith is the result of what we have been taught and what we have been raised to come up believing in certain ideals. Understanding this, can we say that faith is the result of our knowledge? We know that cars can get us from one place to another, and so we believe in their capabilities. Same thing with, let's say, airplanes. We know they can get us from one place to another faster than cars, and we know that there's safety. We know the statistics of, like, we know the safety statistics on that, so we believe in their capabilities. So looking at it from this viewpoint, it appears that our knowledge gained leads to faith. So from a human standpoint, most of us agree that this sounds fairly reasonable. The word faith can refer to two actions or states of being. The initial word faith can refer to a passive belief in a particular idea, just a belief in something. I have a certain knowledge of something, so I have faith in that. The word faithful, a derivative of the word faith, implies a belief in something that implies an action, an active belief, something that is pursued. In this scripture, ideas of faith and faithfulness are concepts that have great importance placed upon them. The scriptures show that our only hope for eternal life is to have faith in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With our previously stated idea concerning faith, the question must be asked. Can we come to a complete faith in God through the knowledge that we attain on our own? Looking into the concept of faith and faithfulness leads us into the beliefs concerning some of the attributes of God. Faithfulness of God alludes to His might and His steadfastness and His love, but also points to His unchanging and unvarying nature. God never changes. He is always constant. So if God is always unchanging, His faithfulness must be unchanging as well. The scripture helps us not only know the steadfastness of God and help us see into His nature and capture a glimpse of what it looks like, but also helps us know who we are and what our nature looks like. We are given several negative images of what our nature looks like in the scripture. The most predominant being the constant negative cycles of our disobedience in the Old Testament. The Reformation theologian John Calvin describes human nature as being totally depraved. Man is shown to be completely sinful and not having any ability to do anything about it, to change it. So knowing these things about the nature of God and the nature of man, I venture to say that by faith's own definition, we cannot be faithful. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians makes an opening statement to the church where he was ministering. Paul is writing to this church concerning a particular topic of faithfulness. They are a young church and a growing church, and he's writing this letter to them because of their issues they had been dealing with. One of the issues was faithfulness. And in the passage we had read in verse 9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In this text, we see that Paul brings forward three essential truths: the faithfulness of God, the fellowship of Christ, and the grace given to God's children. First, God is always faithful. Saying this means so much more than just meaning that He keeps His promises. He is amazing in the ways He provides for us, in the way He shows His love towards us. God's faithfulness towards us also alludes to His care, His might, and also His disciplining of us. His care is exemplified in the way that He shepherded His people through the wilderness and how He took care of them in their time of exile. And His faithfulness is also apparent in how He provides for people day by day when they aren't able to provide for themselves. His love for us goes beyond what any human being could ever hope to describe. The greatest picture of God's love for us was the fact that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Concerning the verse, Charles Spurgeon said, "The Apostle Paul does not say, 'You are faithful.' Alas, the faithfulness of man is a very unreliable affair. It is mere vanity. He does not say, 'You have faithful ministers to lead and guide you, and therefore I trust you will be safe.' Oh no, if we were kept by men, we shall be ill kept. But he puts it, 'God is faithful. If we are found faithful, it will be because God is faithful. On the faithfulness of our covenant God, the whole burden of our salvation must rest. on this glorious attribute of God, the matter hinges. We are variable as the wind, frail as a spider's web, weak as water. No dependence can be placed upon our natural qualities or our spiritual attainments. But God abideth faithful. He is faithful in his love. He knows no variableness, nor shadow of turning. He is faithful to his purpose. He does not begin a work, then leave it undone. He is faithful to his relationships. As a father, he will not renounce his children. As a friend, he will not deny his people. And as a creator, he will not forsake the work of his own hands. He is faithful to his promises and will never allow one of them to fail to a single believer. He is faithful to his covenant, which he has made with us in Christ Jesus and ratified with the blood of his sacrifice. He is faithful to his Son and will not allow his precious blood to be spilled in vain. He is faithful to his people to whom he has promised eternal life and from whom he will not turn away. The reason God is faithful towards us cannot be appropriately explained by any human words. The only reason we can try to give is because He loves us. He loves us so. God is always faithful, even when we utterly fail in our own faith. God is always faithful. Second, because of God's faithfulness, the children of God are able to come into the fellowship of Christ. This fellowship was made available to us through the sacrifice that Christ paid. Fellowship with God through Christ is essential to our belief in God. Paul strongly emphasizes this fellowship that the church must partake in, not merely gathering in one another's presence, but coming together as children of God to worship and glorify the name of the One Most High. Being called together is a specific phrasing that Paul uses in this passage. The apostle is concerned with the children of God being specifically gathered in order to come closer to God. The theologian John Gill said concerning this part of the passage, said, "For it is not merely into the fellowship of his saints or churches, but into the fellowship of his Son they are said to be called." God's faithfulness to his children allows us to be able to come together and glorify Him. It is because of His faithfulness that we even hope to be worthy to be in His presence. God is always faithful. Because of His faithfulness, the children of God are able to come into His presence. And thirdly, in that fellowship is the firm foundation in the wonderful hope that we desperately need. God granted us the ability to be in His presence. His unchanging love for us, expressed through His unwavering faithfulness, is the stability we need in our hopeless self-existence. We can do nothing but stand back in awe of the wonderful gift that He has granted to us. This firm foundation not only gives us the ability to be stable, but also gives us the ability to possess the endurance and aptitude to go and do the things that Christ called us to do. In His foundation, we find the strength to fulfill His will. In His foundation, we can experience the overwhelming love that He shows towards us. And in His foundation, we can see a glimpse of the inexplicable faithfulness that He shows us. God is always faithful. Because of His faithfulness, we are able to come into the fellowship of Christ. And in that fellowship, we can find the firm foundation and wonderful hope that we need. We are not able to uphold the faith that God deserves from us. We cannot even begin to be faithful in our own terms and in our own abilities. Rather, we must place all of our hope and trust in a God who is always faithful. The Apostle Paul in the book of James talk about having a faith in works and how that is essential to our belief in God. Brothers and sisters, I tell you that without an active faith and a pursuit in God and a strong belief, that we can never begin to attain a true fellowship with Him. If we do not do these things, we are in peril. But we cannot do them. we cannot even begin to imagine upholding them. If it were not for the faithfulness of God, we could never attain the true fellowship with Him. This is what it makes this is what makes me so unable to put into words how wonderful this gift of God is. I literally stand speechless when I think about it. Yet it makes me want to talk about it. It makes me want to express it to you today. I want to tell about a God who graciously chose us and is faithful to us. And in Him we can hope to find the eternal fellowship with Him. The Psalm of David, I feel, that really captures the essence of the child of God's reaction to God's faithfulness is the Psalm of David in Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. And I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all of your wondrous deeds, O Lord. I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices, in whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. The psalmist shows that he is able to stand before God's altar and speak his praises to God because of the Lord's wondrous deeds. It is because of his steadfast love that the psalmist is able to come before God and proclaim these things. In placing our hope and trust in a God who is everlastingly faithful, we should always remember the charge that the author of Hebrews gave to us. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him. The author charges us to draw closer to God and always seek Him. Let us always seek Him in all the things we do, and continually praise His never-ending faithfulness. In closing, as we go out and face the new year, let us remember all the things that God has provided for us. Let us always, in this new year, continually praise this never-ending faithfulness of God, this never-changing, unwavering faithfulness. Let us go with the blessing that God gave to His children as they traveled during uncertain times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we stand before You, humbled and grateful, Father. Please help us to have the strength and the faith to continue on in Your will, Father. We thank You for the faithfulness that You showed towards us in giving us the ability to do the things that we do in Your will, Father. God, we just thank You for sending Your Son, Christ, and this gift that You gave to us that we cannot even describe our own gratitude. But God, please continually have Your hand of presence upon us as we go out through this new year. We thank You and we love You. In all of Your Son's, and in Your Son's holy and precious name, amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.